Well, welcome, everybody. It's good to have you on Issues of the Heart. Boy, we're thrilled tonight. I've been talking about it for weeks, but we're thrilled tonight to have a dear friend of mine, Dr. S.M. Davis. And he and I go a ways back. When I was pretty new in pastoring churches, this guy was the lifeblood for me. I'm telling you right now, he helped me in more ways than he knows. And there's a lot of things I call him about or want to call him about that I need assistance with, but there's nothing that he knows better than these issues of the heart as they deal with the home and the marriage and life. And so we've been talking about a couple of things, but before we get into that, Dr. Davis, is such a joy to have you on with us. We appreciate you being here. And tell us a little bit about your ministry.
I pastored from 1975 to 2011 at Park Meadows Baptist Church in Lincoln, Illinois. And during that time, we had issues in our family, and God began to really call my attention to it. And we began a ministry called Solve Family Problems. Our website is solvefamilyproblems.org. And we deal with we have some video with graphics that will deal with almost any family issue that anyone out there has. And since 2011 now, I basically travel and speak, usually at churches on weekends, occasionally camps and conferences and homeschool conventions and things like that. And Brother Albright, we do go way back, man. I'm just having memories way back yonder. Good night. We go back over about 40 years, don't we? I think we're getting older somehow or other.
We sure do. And I was talking to my wife, and I said, you know, I called Brother Davis about a lot of stuff, but the problem was I was always calling him about problems. So he was my problem solver. And I'll tell you this, I actually, while I was in a particular city very close to him, Versailles, Illinois, we were just building a building, just got it started. And I remember going to your church, Park Meadows, and I asked you, I said, so Brother Davis, tell me, what's the best way to do it? And I remember like it was yesterday. And you said, Brother Jay, build when you have the money to build. And so I took the message back. I told our folks, look, we're gonna build when we have money to build. And so as the money comes in, we'll use that to build, and we'll move in the auditorium when it's paid for. And that's exactly what we did in Versailles, Illinois. They said it couldn't be done in a small town like that, but we did it.
And well, they said it couldn't be done in Lincoln either, but by God's grace, we did it there too. You know, almost any preacher could do it if he would. It's just, we want everything right now, you know.
Give me this right now.
I want to walk in this farm tomorrow.
Well, I know this, and we'll lead into our subject tonight. I know when I went through some major battles in my life, you were there. You were my confidant. You were the person who I could go to that I knew would keep it close to your heart and would help me and work with me and deal with me. And I appreciate that so much. Matter of fact, I don't know that I have adequately explained to you what a benefit that was to me. As a matter of fact, it got me through it. And so when I talk about and think about family problems, issues people are having with their kids, and that's what Recovery Ministries is. We deal with families, primarily families in the ministry, but outside of the ministry too. And I can't tell you how many times I go and I listen to your messages. I find them on YouTube. I listen, take notes, and learn. And you you don't even know, Brother Davis, how many of our counseling sessions you've been involved in and didn't know it. But anyway, we appreciate what you've done. And one of the subjects that I think you deal with that most no one deals with, and that's the right approach to the subject of anger. Now, we've said this now for 3 weeks. Everybody who's listening to our voice and watching us tonight has dealt with anger themselves, or they have to deal with people who have anger problems.
Yes.
And what I'd like to ask you tonight, so, and I've heard it all. Well, there's sometimes it's good to be angry. There's sometimes it's not good to be angry. What do you tell? Give me your perception of how this whole anger thing works together. And is it ever right to be angry? Now, I said a few weeks ago, I don't know that it's ever right to be angry or be angry. And then something happened the next day, and the guy that was speaking, I sent him an angry one of those emotions you send on your. I sent him one of those. I said, "I'm not angry, but at least I can keep sending these." But anyway, so talk to us about it. Is it ever right?
Let me put it in one sentence like this: it is all right to be angered. It is not all right to get angry. It is all right to be angered. We cannot control what comes at us. We cannot control what we feel when it comes at us. But we must control, with the Holy Spirit's help, what we do after that. Have we all failed? Yes, including yours truly. Too many, many times. Not as much as 40 years ago when we first met, and I didn't know better, but many, many times. But the verse says, let all, in Ephesians, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. But then what people do is they go back five verses before that, and they say, oh, there's an exception right there. Oh, there's an exception right there, where it says in verse 26, be angry and sin not. Well, yep. They don't realize what they're saying. What they really are saying is there's a contradiction in the Bible. That's what they're really saying. Because over and over, Psalm 37:8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. James, I forget the verse, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And in Colossians as well, a verse there that talks about getting rid of all evil speaking and filthy language, and I'll read that verse sometimes, and I'll say to, I believe that is what Colossians, let me turn over there right quick. I think it's Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, where it talks about filthy language, and I'll stand up and I'll read that verse. I'll throw it up on the big screen where everybody can see it. Here it is, Colossians 3, 8. But now ye also put off all these, all of them, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Mm-hmm. And you know what people will say? They'll say, well, a little bit of anger is all right. So is a little bit of filthy communication all right? Is a little bit of blasphemy all right? Is a little bit of malice all right? No, it's not right. And the reason we've got this confusion, and there are books that come out every 6 months, I hear about some nationally known figure, which I'm not. And that's all right. I don't have to be anybody. I'm not anybody. Never have been, never will be. But I know truth when I see it. And every 6 months, a new nationally known figure will come out of book, bring out a book saying, you can be angry and you have a right to be angry. And yeah, you got to be careful with anger and all that. No. Wait a minute. No, if you take that position, you have a contradiction in your Bible. I would show up occasionally at a church. I won't name the church, but occasionally I would show up. Every time I would show up.
As long as it wasn't my church.
What's that?
As long as it wasn't my church.
No. In the last few years, I show up at a church and my wife, we'd walk out and my wife would say, he preached that for you. You know, he was addressing that where he was defending anger. You know, he was letting you have it, don't you? I would say, yeah, I just laugh. That's all right. If I ever had a chance to talk to him one-on-one, I would say to him, your Bible's got a contradiction in it, doesn't it? Because your Bible has this over here. Now, here's the explanation. You have all these verses that are saying to get, by the way, am I too loud, Brother Jay? I don't know.
No,
don't,
sir. No,
I've never done this before. So, okay.
If no, I am, absolutely perfect.
Okay. My wife warns me sometime that my voice really projects, and she's gracious to help me, and I want her to help me. So I just want to make sure here that I'm not. Anyway, verse 26, where it says, be angry and sin not. Now, the easiest way to understand that, well, there's two easy ways to understand that. Two ways. First of all is to say, wait a minute, what does this mean? Because five verses later it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger be put away. Mm-hmm. Well, it must mean when anger starts to rise, watch out, you're about to sin. And I believe it is what it means, but the Greek really brings it out. And that is, it is in the Greek, a present passive imperative. It is not you or me acting. It is us being acted upon. So here's something coming at us to cause us to be angry. Be careful. You're going to get angry. And when you do, you're going to sin. So anyway, and then there's always the question, I don't know if you want me to answer this. I can do it now or later. Didn't Jesus get angry? They asked that. And how about God's anger? And, you know, maybe we should save that for another time. But
they say it to me all the time. So I'd love for you to answer that for them.
The only passage in the entire Bible where we're told that Jesus actually used anger. By the way, if you study it's in Mark chapter 3, verse 5. When Jesus looked round about on them with anger, it doesn't actually say he got angry. It says with anger. About to heal the man with the withered hand on the Sabbath day. And it's these Pharisees that Jesus is really, really upset with here. People will ask, well, didn't Jesus get angry when he cleansed the temple? And the answer is, I don't know. Nobody else does either. We may think he was angry, but it doesn't really tell us. But that word for anger right there, when in Mark chapter 3, verse 5, that Greek word is not used anywhere in the New Testament again in relation to a human being. It's only used right there in relation to Jesus. But it shows up in those other verses that I used just a while ago, Colossians 3, 8, Ephesians 4, 31, James 1, 18, I believe it is. That Greek word shows up again where God says, no, you don't do it. And what I say to folks is, I don't know whether Jesus really got angry there or not. I know that God can righteously get angry, righteously humiliate somebody, and righteously carry out vengeance on somebody. And you and I biblically are not supposed to do any one of those three things. And so God, there's a lot of God's wrath and anger in the Old Testament. And the reason for that, I got to add this right here, because you can't ever discuss anger without discussing that verse that says, vengeance is mine, I will repay.
There you go. Yep.
And it says in that verse that it's pointing out that the purpose of wrath is vengeance. So if we have a right to get angry, we also have a right to carry out vengeance, but the Bible says that belongs to God only, not to us. So that was a quick explanation.
Yeah, our guest last week, Dr. Davis, he actually said that when you get angry, you're essentially acting as if you're God, and you don't have that authority.
Exactly. Right?
So, Brother Davis, like everybody else, I've had times when I experienced those angry moments when anger, you know, surfaced. But, you know, there's been sometimes when I was real careful not to let anger surface. But then in conversations later, people would refer to the fact that I was angry. And I said, wait a minute, I wasn't angry. You know, and you've heard things like, well, boy, why are you shouting? I'm not shouting. Do you want me to show you what shouting sounds like? Right. And so why is it that people, even if I work hard to hold it back, why do people get the perception that I'm angry?
We have to all be careful that we don't have a spirit of anger. And in my message, Anger the Destroyer, I point out it's all right to be intense. It's not all right to be indignant. It's all right to be high-spirited. It's not all right to be harsh. Mm-hmm. I had several of those that I say right there. But it's sometimes a very close line, and no doubt I've crossed it. You've crossed it. I don't think any of us are perfect, and I think we've all crossed it over. But we want to make sure, as best we can, that we are not using anger. See what happens if a man uses anger in disciplining his children. This is the big, huge reason that conservative Bible-believing Christians like you and me have lost the next generation for decades now. This is it. Because we get angry with our children because we think the Bible said that we could and we think we needed to. And when we get angry, we're not really carrying out correction. We're carrying out vengeance. That vengeance doesn't belong to us. We have stepped out of our realm into the realm of God, and God doesn't bless that. That just doesn't work, and children react to it, and rebellion surfaces, and disillusionment, and discouragement, and all of that comes. And anger is the big thing. If we could just get the anger out of our homes, we would really dramatically. A husband who gets angry at his wife, he's really carrying out vengeance on her. A wife who gets angry at her husband, she's just found a way to use vengeance. That's what she's doing. Any of us can. All of us probably have. The important thing is when we do it, we need to recognize that we've done it and we've got to repent of it. And we got to say, you know, this isn't going to be part of my life. Not going to have it.
Tremendous, tremendous statement and point. Now, you said to me one time, you mentioned the fact that, you know, you're talking about our kids. We're losing our kids, this generation. And you said a lot of people have said the reason we're losing our kids is because we have too many rules and we're too strict and so forth. Is that why we're losing our kids?
It's not strictness. Every family out there has some kind of rules. Every single family. You find the most liberal family out there. They're not going to. And that family's probably said, son, you're not going to do fentanyl in this house.
Right.
You're not going to do cocaine in this house. You might do it somewhere else. You're not going to do it. Every family has rules. I put it like this. Here are your rules. Here is your relationship. Anytime your rules ever get bigger than your relationship, you're not going to have trouble. You already have trouble. Your relationship always has to be bigger. You have any kind of rules you want to have. Just make sure you got a big enough relationship to handle those rules.
Wow.
It's not the strictness, it's the harshness. That's what it is. It's we're not being gentle. Thy gentleness hath made me great. Greatness in a child is produced by gentleness in his parents. Mm. And it's just very, very important.
And myself and so many others that are listening to this podcast tonight, I guarantee you, wish we could reverse the clock, go back in time, and hear what you just said.
Oh, I wish I could.
Our kids.
Yes, yes. I wish I could as well. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So is it possible? I mean, if you have the spirit of anger, does something have to happen for people to see that, or do they, can they just sense that in somebody?
I think Jesus was talking about a spirit of anger in Luke chapter 9 when he looked at James and John, who wanted to call down fire from heaven and destroy a whole village full of people. Think about that. I mean, and this is the John, the same John, who's the beloved John, the apostle of love. This is the same one. He eventually changed, obviously, but he was ready to call down fire from heaven. And Jesus said, ye know not what manner of spirit you're of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. By the way, you could throw this in right here, Brother Jay. If you don't have a Bible that is based on a Textus Receptus, you won't have those words of Jesus. They will disappear. That's just a little side note for you right there that people need to hear. It's very important which Bible version you use. But you know what manner of spirit you're of? And I'm remembering talking to a father years ago, and he had a problem with anger, and his wife knew it, his daughter knew it, and he had tried to deal with it. He'd already used several of my videos. And I was talking to him one day at a conference in Tennessee, and he was saying, I don't know what else to do. And I said, brother, can I help you? And he said, yes, tell me, whatever. And I said, you have a spirit of anger that is in your life all the time. When you're almost any time you're speaking, you have a spirit of anger. Almost any time. And you wouldn't believe how many people have listened to that message on freedom from the spirit of anger and come back and said, that was it. That was the key thing. I had a fellow just in the last few months. He said to me, Brother Davis, I got that message. And I did what you said. I went to my children and I said to them, anytime you sense me having anger or a spirit of anger, I want you to just come, put your hand on my shoulder. And I'll right away recognize it and do something about it. He said, 5 minutes after I told my kids that, one of them came and put his hand on my shoulder. And he said, I looked at him and said, What? And he said, they backed up and said, Dad, you told us to do it. You told us to tell you. If you don't want us to, we won't. And he said, no, I want you to. 30 minutes later, another time. 30 minutes later, another time. 45 minutes later, another time. And it was just, he said, for 2 weeks, it was like, am I manifest? But he said, it called my attention to it. And I had another man who came to me and he said, I've listened to your whole anger series. I've gone through the whole thing twice with the whole family. But he said, it just hadn't worked. We still got problems. I'm still having trouble with my kids. And I said, wait a minute. Did you make yourself accountable to your children? Like I said on that message, freedom from the spirit of anger, where they could let you know anytime. He said, well, that was the one thing I didn't do. He said, I didn't think it was right for them to be rebuking their father. And I said, They're not rebuking you. They're appealing to you. And they need to appeal to you so that you can see this and experience it and understand it. He said, really? And he told me just a week or two later, he said, that did it. It changed the whole home. When he needed the accountability. He needed to see it. He needed to understand it.
Oh, so true. So every one of us, everybody who's listening to this podcast and watching tonight, we've had those moments in our life. Maybe it was in your home with your wife, or maybe it was at the office or whatever. But you walk in a room and it just seems like everyone is on edge when nobody said anything. You know, I mean, you go in tonight, you'll go in for dinner, and when you go in, or supper if you're from the South, you go in tonight and it'll be quiet. I mean, there won't be anything said. Does the spirit of anger play into that? Can people, I mean, is it so relevant that people can sense that spirit and refrain from communication or talking or whatever, just because the mood of the moment is set by the spirit of the person that possibly has that spirit of anger? Can that happen?
Yes, sir. I really think it can. And there's times when folks are just moody. You know, there are times when that is so. I'm thinking right now, I was trying to find the reference. I was looking at my Bible there for a second, but I'm thinking about, there's a verse in Proverbs. I really, really love this verse. It says, in the light of the king's countenance is life. Think about that for a minute. In the light of the king's countenance is life. The king is the one in authority. When his countenance lights up, he gives life to all of those around him. He gives fuller life, better life, joyful life, longer life. Whoever is the one in authority, whether it's the leader in the government, the pastor in the church, what happens if the pastor in the church walks behind the pulpit on Sunday morning and he says, well, folks, I didn't feel like coming to church today, and I know some of you didn't either, but here we are. What's going to happen? I mean, everybody's going to turn, look at each other and say, we wish we hadn't come too. And if the one in authority has got to be pleasant and full of light, his countenance, he's got to lighten. It's got to put out light. First thing every morning when he comes to the table, when he sees his wife, when he sees his children, he's got to say something wonderful and beautiful to and pleasant and delightful to each member of the house. And he sets the stage, and you can get rid of a lot of that negative moodiness if you do that.
That's tremendous. And I'll tell you, at our own church, and I don't know whether Dr. Chaddock's listening or not tonight. He may be. But this is not an attempt to make to get me in a good light with our pastor. But I mean this: when he walks to the pulpit, every service when he walks to the pulpit, he has that countenance that makes everyone in the crowd begin enjoying the service at the very beginning before he has even much to say. So
pastor's got to do that. And a father's, it's more important for the father in the home to do that than it is for the pastor in the church. But one reason we've lost the next generation is because we've had so much of a spirit of anger in our preaching and teaching for so many years, and the defense of anger, and then that spreads into the pews. If the preacher behind the pulpit, if he thinks he's going to have righteous anger, then without saying one word, he just gave every father and mother in that church permission to use righteous anger in their home. Then we lose the next generation and we wonder, how in the world did this happen?
Well, I can tell you personal experience, and it's interesting that it's you and I who are discussing this with everybody, because this was a situation between you and I. Remember, I was preaching, and boy, I was up there just laying it out. Mean-spirited. This is one of those things, if I could take it back, boy, I would in a heartbeat. And I remember that I had a couple who got upset and left the church. And I sent you a copy of that tape of that message. And I said, so, Brother Davis, what could I have done? Was I wrong? Do you hear anything wrong in what I said? And I remember today what you told me. You said, I didn't hear anything wrong in what you said, but I heard something wrong in the way you said it. And you said,
I don't even remember that.
Yeah. And you said, you didn't give them a way out. And I'll never forget. The message was on divorce and marriage. And boy, I was just laying it out there. And you essentially told me the problem wasn't the message. The problem was the delivery of the message, and that I gave them no way out. They had nowhere to go except to leave. And I'll be honest with you, for years, I've tried to get a hold of them to apologize, and I never have been able to. But that's an exact example of what you just were talking about.
And you know what I remember, Brother Albright, is way back when I was a younger pastor in the late 70s, early 80s, I remember time standing up, and I had learned this from the previous generation. I don't mean to be critical of them. I'm just telling you that. I thought that was what you did. Man, I'd really let the people have it. Mm-hmm. And I can remember this so clearly. Then I'd stand back at the back of the church, shake hands, and try to be friendly and nice, and feel like, what's wrong here? None of us are pleasant right now. And I could, it took me years to figure that out, that I had just created a negative, tense, angry atmosphere, lambasting people, and then wanting to shake hands with everybody and be friendly like everything was fine. And it was, there's a touch of hypocrisy there, you know, there really was. Right. I didn't see it, but there was.
I wish we could get that. I really do wish we could get that. I was raised in the same era that you were, in that, you know, that I was told, you know, that's the way you need to be when you get in the pulpit. Mm-hmm. And I am, and my wife will tell you, I wake up at night. Even today, I wake up at night and I'll say, I wonder how many people I hurt.
Yeah.
In the delivery.
Yeah, I've thought of it.
Yeah.
I've thought of it many times. I really have.
Well, that's good stuff, Brother Davis. So we have a lot of preachers who listen to this podcast, and some are listening tonight, some will listen later. But there are a lot of people, a lot of folk, regular folks like us, a lot of preachers, a lot of pastors listen to it. So tell them how they can get your material.
Just go to my website, solvefamilyproblems.org. I'll say it again, solvefamilyproblems.org. .org or .com, either one. This is the anger series that I've been referring to as I was talking tonight. There are 10 DVDs in the anger series. It's also available on this little flash drive that will plug right into the computer or to the back of a TV set. You can watch it just like you would a DVD, and they're on there. And lots of pastors use my videos for counseling. In fact, I'm recommending now that pastors, the new video I just produced, we have a total of 165 videos now, most of them with on-screen graphics that deal with any family issue you can think of. And the one I just released entitled, What to Do with What You've Been Through. would be a great video to start counseling with somebody. Just last week, I was counseling with a pastor from Alabama, and I told him, he was counseling a couple in his church, and I said, start with that video. And it shows five steps where, what to do with what you've been through, from forgiveness or recognition all the way to helping other people. And I said, play that video for them first and say to them, which one of those five steps are you in right now? It would be tremendous for anybody who is counseling the first or second time they counsel with an individual or a couple to set them down, let them watch that video and say, which step are you in? Do you see the need to move to step number two, number three, number four, number five? If they don't want to move, you're going nowhere. But then you can use other videos. They can use other in my videos. And instead of having to sit for hours and hours counseling people, and they're just giving them the Bible, if they're giving them good counsel, they can use my videos, and the videos have the Bible on them, and they have them watch them and then come back to them and tell them, this is what I got out of the video, and this is what I did with it. And I have done that for years. I'm telling you, it works. Lots of pastors do it, and it works. And of course, they still need a pastor to love them, or a counselor to sometimes, you know, help them over a few bumps. But basically, the videos will give them what they need.
Right. Well, you know, I don't want to get on this subject, but, and I don't know how accurate I am here, but of course, as you already know, my wife and I, we counsel hundreds of people. And the counseling, every counseling session we have, not session, but every person or group of people or couples or individuals that we counsel, we always tell them the final step. You hadn't made it through the counseling until you help someone who's experiencing what you've experienced.
That's good.
Just like,
That's exactly what that message is about.
Good. Excellent.
Jesus said to Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. When you've changed, then you reach out and help somebody else. That's really the message.
Excellent. Well, Brother Davis, it's been a joy to have you. I appreciate you. Again, the information is phenomenal. Remember, everyone, go to Solving Family Problems on the web. Look at the material. I encourage you to get it. Use it for you and use it to help other people. It's been tremendous. I do it right now. So I can tell you that a lot of the counseling, I hate to say this because there are people we've counseled, I know that are listening here, but most of that stuff you got didn't come from me, right? So if you want to get it, go to that website. Dr. Davis, thank you so much.
Thank you, brother. Love you. Thank you for letting me do this tonight. God bless you.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
See you, everybody. Remember, next Monday night, 7:00, Issues of the Heart, we're going to have Dr. Jerry Chaddock, our home pastor, on. We're covering the subject. You'll like this, Brother Davis. He's going to cover the subject of temptation and lust. I told him after the service, when he preached that message, I said, preacher, I need you to tell preachers around the country on our podcast that this is not just a church member thing. This is a pastor thing. But you go to a regular preacher's fellowship meeting or pastor's meeting, nobody covered that. They cover all the stuff that the preachers are already doing. But this is an area where preachers are suffering and everybody's afraid to cover it. So he's going to cover it next Monday night, 7:00 on the Issues of the Heart podcast. I want you guys to be there. Brother Davis, thank you so much for being with us.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.